It was 40 days from Jesus' resurrection to his ascension. Luke tells us that during those 40 days, Jesus presented himself alive by many proofs. Not only did Jesus prove that he was raised, Luke tells us that he also continued to teach his disciples, speaking to them about the kingdom of God. The miracle of Jesus' resurrection from the dead had prepared the disciples for the miracle of his ascension. Jesus was raised from the dead, and so he was with them, but already we see that he was with them in a very different way. The Gospels show us that Jesus came and went. He appeared in their midst and disappeared just as fast, locked door or not. He was immediately recognizable at times, and at other times he wasn't. After his resurrection, Jesus was with them, but in a different way than he had been with them before. In this way, the miracle of the resurrection prepares us to understand the miracle of the ascension. Luke tells us that first Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, then lifting up his hands, Jesus blessed them, and while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up to heaven. The disciples don't seem surprised about this in the least, but rather they worshiped him. An important detail, if there ever was one, the disciples worshiped Jesus. Then the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is a strange reaction. We might expect sadness from the disciples. But their reaction of joy shows us that this was no typical parting. Jesus' ascension wasn't a goodbye at all. The Lord himself had said to them, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." But if Christ's ascension into heaven isn't a goodbye, then what is it? What does it mean for us that he has ascended into heaven? A clue is given to us in the ascension account recorded in the book of Acts. There we learn that Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. By adding this detail about the cloud, Luke isn't commenting on the weather. No, throughout the Old Testament, the cloud and God's presence are linked. The pillar of cloud that leads Israel through the wilderness, the cloud that wraps itself around Mount Sinai at the giving of the covenant, the cloud that envelops the newly created tabernacle, the cloud that hovers over the mercy seat in the holiest of holies. Now Jesus himself is wrapped up in this cloud, and he disappears from their sight. God is present in Jesus, locates himself in Jesus, so that Jesus is now the guiding, guarding pillar. Jesus is now the covenant, the old fulfilled and the new established. Jesus is the tabernacle, he the sacrifice, he the priest. Jesus is the mercy seat in the holiest of holies, his blood poured there. God is present for us in a merciful way in Jesus. And now Jesus, though he is true man, Jesus is present for us in a way that only God can be present. This is what his ascension means. He ascends and he is enveloped by the cloud. What this means for us is that our Lord ceases to be present with us in the old way. And he begins to be present with us in a new way. In other words, and paradoxically, our Lord leaves us in order to draw nearer to us than ever before. If he had stayed with us in the old way and old mode, there'd be one heck of a line to see him. Would you ever even get near him? Factoring in travel expenses, ticket costs, time off work, what would you have to pay to be near Jesus? And how much time with him would you get? You see, if Jesus had stayed with us in the old mode and way, he would be near us, but in such a way that he wouldn't actually be near us at all. So Jesus goes away from us, ascends into heaven, so that he might draw nearer to us than ever before. Seated at the right hand of the Father, for the Father is everywhere, and his right hand is where God is at work. By ascending, Jesus draws nearer to us. In fact, so near to you that it is he who speaks to you through the pastor's lips. And not only through the pastor's lips, but wherever his word and truth are spoken, from the mouth of your spouse, your parents, even your children, there Jesus is speaking. There the right hand of God is gently at work on you. He is nearer than we think, nearer than we are even aware. Perhaps you've seen the bumper sticker, "Jesus is coming, look busy." But the Christian knows better. The Christian knows that Jesus is already here. Aware of it or not, every word you speak is uttered in his presence. Everything you do is done in the light of his face. How would it change the way you look at your life, the way you speak about others, the way you speak to your spouse? How would it change your attitude, your intentions, your plans, what you do, if you knew that Jesus was so near to you that he was aware of all of it? You see, he's not near to us only when we want him to be. Jesus' ascension means no hiding, no excuses, no going on with evil intentions. Jesus with us means repent. All of life is to be a life of repentance, because your life is lived before the one who sees all of you, the one who cannot be deceived. He draws near to you not to give you permission to sin or to make your sin okay. He draws near to you to put your sin to death and to help you to crucify the sinful flesh and its desires, to raise you up to new life and new hope. By his own absolution and by his power to make all things, including your life, including you, new. Jesus' ascension means that he is nearer than we think, nearer than we are even aware. He draws near not to condemn you, but to help you. He is the same Jesus who in his earthly ministry drew near to sinners, ate with them, spent time with them. The thing about sinners, and I should know, is that we can always sniff out a faker, a holier-than-thou, a goody-two-shoes. In Jesus, they found none of that. They found someone who knows good from evil, but someone who knows mercy too. In other words, in Jesus, they found someone, the only one, who is truly good. It is this Jesus who is near you. In fact, he has always been. Aware of it or not, it It is He who has baptized you through the pastor's hands. It is He who raised you in faith and who still teaches you His word through who knows how many teachers. It is He who hears your confession, even the one you dare not utter out loud. It is He who absolves you, forgives you. It is He who reminds you that He is gracious toward you because His grace is never cheap grace, but grace that He has won for you by His own sufferings on the cross and by the shedding of His innocent blood. You lack righteousness. You hunger and thirst for it. He knows. And therefore He gives you His sacred body that you might feed on Him and have His righteousness as your own. You desire to be through with sin and be right with God. He knows, and therefore He places His sacred blood to your lips and gives you life and not death, for the life is in His blood. Jesus is ascended, wrapped in the cloud, and therefore He is nearer to you personally and nearer to your brothers and sisters than ever before. So don't pretend that He's locked up in heaven, far away from you and far away from your troubles. No, listen to Him, for He is near. Let His love have its way with you. Let your life be changed by the One who daily puts us to death and raises us again. We find all of this backwards, of course, but it's Jesus' way. Only by killing you does He make you truly alive. Only by becoming your sin Himself does He take away your sin forever. Only by dying Himself does He undo the power of death. Only by losing everything on the cross does He win everything for God. And so too, only by His departing from us does He draw nearer to us than ever before. The night before Jesus' death, He said to His disciples, "The world will not see me anymore, but you will see me." So let us come then to His font, to His table, for here we place our hands in His side and say with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.